After Ernest Hemingway died in 1961, his widow left his rambling villa outside Havana to the Cuban state. Hemingway wrote some of his masterpieces there, including For Whom the Bell Tolls. But years of humidity and the battering of hurricanes have left the house in disrepair. A group of Americans with ties to Hemingway wants to help by providing money and experts to restore the house, but the U.S. government won't let them. NPR's Lourdes Garcia Navarro reports.
As the story goes, one afternoon, a tired and hot Ava Gardner took off all her clothes and swam naked in the pool at Finca Vigia to cool off. It's a popular vignette told by this guide to a group of American tourists from Key West who, despite travel restrictions, have come here to marvel at the house where Ernest Hemingway spent 20 years of his life.
Well, I've followed Hemingway since a kid, reading his stories and his books.
James Duff and the others are here on a special religious travel license granted by the U.S. Treasury Department, which enforces the American embargo on Cuba. The decades-old embargo was tightened this summer by the Bush administration, making it even more difficult to visit the communist island. Ernest Hemingway moved to this farm just outside Havana in 1939 and lived here for two decades. The house sits on around 15 tree-covered acres. Built in the 1800s by a Spanish architect, its rooms are wide and airy. Hemingway, though, left his decidedly masculine imprint on it. His war correspondent uniforms from World War II hang in the closet. The mounted heads and animals decorate the walls. In the bathroom is a handwritten list of his weight, recorded daily. After his death in 1961, his widow, Mary Welsh Hemingway, gave the villa and many of its contents to the Cuban state. There are a few things, though, that tourists coming to visit won't see. The room where he would stand and type his works is now empty of his furniture. Green mold is creeping down its walls. The ceiling is collapsing and is now held up by only two poles. His bedroom has been completely closed off because of its state of disrepair. Gladys Rodriguez is one of the principal caretakers of Hemingway's house and his legacy in Cuba. We need money for the materials, she says. The Cuban government has now put forward part of that money, and the restoration will begin later this month. But there are people who want to help who are not being allowed to, and we could do things faster if they were able to help us. Those people are Americans who have either an interest in or direct links to Hemingway. They formed the Hemingway Preservation Foundation. Among them is Jenny Phillips, the granddaughter of Hemingway's editor and friend Maxwell Perkins. The foundation applied for a license to send experts and money to Cuba over the summer, but the application was denied by the Office of Foreign Assets Control at the Treasury Department, which administers the embargo against Cuba. Speaking from her home in Boston, Phillips says the time is running out.
And they simply do not have the resources available. They've done a very good job of preserving Finca Vigia over the years. I must say, it's been almost 4 years that I've been visiting Finca Vigia since I first walked into the house, and the deterioration is really outstripping itself. It's very, very rapid now.
The Treasury Department last year did allow a joint U.S.-Cuban project for the preservation of thousands of documents belonging to Hemingway, but it says it won't allow projects to go forward that promote tourism to the island. Molly Millerwise is a spokesman for the Office of Foreign Asset Control.
We found that each year millions of travel-related dollars flow down to Cuba and ultimately in the hands of Fidel Castro. And we know he certainly doesn't allow this hard currency to benefit the Cuban people, but rather uses it to further ramp up his own oppressive regime.
But Philip says Hemingway's house has been caught in a political tug of war that has nothing to do with what he stood for.
Ernest Hemingway's life really encapsulated democratic, anti-fascist, anti-totalitarian ideals. I think we have to rise above a narrow political struggle right now and look at the sort of priceless, timeless value of this cultural and literary shrine.
A shrine, Gladys Rodriguez says, that belongs not to Cubans or Americans, but to the world. Looking at Finca Vigia, she adds that despite its bad condition, it's a house that has borne witness to many tumultuous times, and it will survive.
Mira, la casa no se va a desaparecer por una razón sencilla, la casa es más fuerte.
This house is stronger than all the things that have been done against it, she says. Lourdes Garcia Navarro, NPR News.